Father, we thank you so much for that song that we heard by Leanne, Lord. It was just wonderful. Lord, how we felt the anointing in the worship. Lord, we thank you that you're in our midst. And now we ask, Father, that the Holy Spirit would open our eyes, that we could see revelation knowledge, that we'll not just have another meeting, but we'll be actually moved and promoted from one degree of glory to another in the kingdom. I pray that the hearts of each one of us will be open to behold wondrous things in the Word, that the light would shine upon our path, whether it's in the realm of our business or our family or our ministry decisions that we're facing, that we'll learn the keys to the waiting phase, that we'll learn how to not give up, to press on through to the receiving phase. In the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Let's turn together to Exodus 32. Exodus 32. This morning, and then again tonight, will be a two-part series. I encourage you to make notes. I always do that. You always retain more when you jot down little notes. You know, just don't sit there and look at me with all these glazed spiritual looks, you know. See these people, their eyes, you know, kind of glassed over. I know they're out there on the golf course somewhere. They're out there playing tennis somewhere in their mind, you know. I want you to read the Word. If you don't have your Bible, maybe try to look on with somebody that brought one next to you. Take some notes. We're discussing the waiting phase. Everybody say the waiting phase.
Waiting phase.
Everybody say the waiting phase.
Waiting phase.
All right. Exodus 32. And let's begin with verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed. Now you note that word. It says delayed. There was a delay involved. There's a wait involved in this story. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron. They shouldn't have done that. And said unto him, Up, make us gods, little g, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives. I'm sure they detached them, praise the Lord. They didn't just jerk them off, amen. We don't want to do that. Take off the earrings of your wives and your sons and your daughters, bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. You see, that's some of the spoil, you remember, that they picked up out of Egypt. You see, God had blessed them. Now they're turning what God had given them into something, you see, idolatrous. Verse 4. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now, isn't that pitiful? And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Boy, now they're really getting mixed up, aren't they? Worshiping a calf, then they're going to have a feast to the Lord. All right, verse 6. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat, to drink, and rose up to play, which doesn't mean play games. That means they got into immorality. All right, we see here a story. The great prophet of God, Moses, has ascended into the mountain to meet with God. And the people were saying, Where is he? I mean, he was up there a long time. Amen. 40 days, 40 nights. That's a long time. He was up there communing with God. They did not know that he was receiving the greatest revelation that had up until that point in history been given, the Ten Commandments. They did not know that God was up there mapping out a direct route right over to Canaan's land. I mean, it would have just taken a few days' journey. If you'll get your map out and look at it on a Bible map, they could have just got right over there. They didn't know that the God of the universe, the God who they had seen open the Red Sea, was planning great things for them. Look what it says in verse 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed. Everybody say that word. Delayed. Say it again. Delayed. See, we're talking about the waiting phase. And I'm telling you, life is full of delays. Even in the spirit realm. Prayers can be delayed. Answers can be delayed. And if we don't properly understand the waiting phase, we can miss out on God's best just like they did. Now you write, there's three phases. These are phrases that I've coined to describe basically your walk of faith and your walk of prayer. The first phase I call the claiming phase. Amen? That's where you start and you stand on a promise of God. You're claiming it. You're believing for it. You know, like that old good song, standing on the promises. Amen? So there's the claiming phase. Oh, we've heard a lot of teaching the past, you know, number of years about the claiming phase. Get in there and claim it. But you know what? I believe many people, they thought they were going to go right from the claiming phase to the third one, which is the receiving phase. And they've missed out on the principles and the concepts of the waiting phase. They get all torqued out of shape. So there's the claiming phase, the waiting phase, and the receiving phase. Now, each one of those are important. I mean, you need teaching and instruction on each one of those. I'm not saying that you don't. But what I'm saying is most people miss it in the waiting phase. Because the waiting phase is where there takes some perseverance and endurance. You see, if they had have just waited, they said, look what they said. When the people saw that Moses delayed, he wasn't delaying. And sometimes that's how we interpret God. Well, God's delaying on me, you see. When really, no, he was right in God's schedule. I mean, he hadn't got the Ten Commandments yet, you know, written down there in the stone. He was ready to come down the mountain and bless the people. But they went ahead and got into the flesh. And that's the temptation we can do. We'll either quit and fall out of the race, or we'll take things into our own hands and try to manipulate them, and we'll end up with a golden calf. Do you see what I'm saying? So we're talking about this waiting phase. Now, there are four things, in my opinion, that can cause a delay. You may want to write these down. There are four things. The first one is Satan's delay. Satan does have hindering power. We see that, remember, in the story of Daniel. You remember that? The angel said, you know, man, I had to battle my way down here. I mean, Satan and his principalities were warring against God's angel. So there's Satan's delay. Number two, there's your delay. I mean, you can just, you know, if you fall into sin or you have certain things in your life that aren't right, you can actually delay. That's why it says, like in the book of James chapter 5, it says, confess your sins one to another that you, what, may be healed. Do you see how sin can hinder healing? Delay it. So there's Satan's delay, your delay. Number three, there's other people's delay. You know, when you're praying for something, God may have to be changing four or five, maybe more people's hearts, right? And I mean, that takes some time. That's just not an instantaneous thing where God, you know, He doesn't just call people robots and just, you know, I told you to go over there and give the church $1,000. I don't want to do it. Now, can you see how if that person's stubborn and doesn't want to do it, that's going to cause some delay? And so you got to wait on that. And then the fourth one, yes, there is a God delay. And that's not bad. In other words, I'm saying there are some things that fall into God's timetable. You see, you can't push it. You could push it ahead, but you'll get into a mess. There are some things that God has a timetable for that He wants to fulfill it right then. There's a season for it to be fulfilled. And if you try to get ahead of God, you see, or if you lag behind, you'll miss out on God's best. So, is this starting to come together? What we're talking about, the waiting phase. Now, let me give you a definition for the word wait. This is interesting to me. The word wait, right out of the dictionary, means to stay in a place or remain in readiness and anticipation. Isn't that good? Amen. To stay in a place or remain in readiness and anticipation. Here you are, you've believed God. Let's say you've believed God for a car. I'm just going to use that. You're believing God for means of transportation. I mean, in this culture, you just got to have a car, you know, to get around. So you believe in God for a car. Well, to wait on the Lord means that you stay in your place. You're not going to move off of that belief, that faith that you've claimed. You've come through the claiming phase, but now there's this delay. The money's not there. Maybe the promotion that you were anticipating is not there. But you stay in that place with anticipation and expectation that it is on the way. You see, now Israel missed out in this instance. They missed out on God's best. And what I'm saying is, did you know you can miss God's best? I don't want to miss God's best. If you don't want to miss God's best, let me see your hand. Okay, amen. We're together on this. All right, now let's go to Psalm 27. And let's look at, if you'll take a concordance out and you just look up the word wait or waiting, it's real interesting, but of course there's not time to look up all those. But David, he really knew the secret to the waiting phase. And you'll find the great men and women of God who seem to really get things done for God, they learned the secret of the waiting phase. Psalm 27, and let's look at the last two verses, 13 and 14. Look what David said. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Did you know the temptation in the waiting phase is to faint? Amen. I know I went out for track for one day in high school. You know, I was trying to find something I could let her in. So I thought track, you know. I played football and I played tennis. And so I said, well, I'm going to play track. I mean, run track. So I went out there, you know, and, you know, it's kind of the tryouts, and they're going to see what you're made of and so forth. And so they had these little blocks, you know. I didn't know much about it. And I got down there. The guy said, all right, ready, boom, buddy. And I knew who were the ones who had lettered last year. So I had my eye on them, and if I could beat them, I mean, I had it made, right? And so, man, I was running around the track. I was leaving them behind. I thought, glory to God, I have found my niche. Look at this. I didn't know we were running 15 times around the track. Hallelujah. And so, man, I was just boogieing right on. I was going. That's the way a lot of people are. They start off fast. I started fainting real quick. I started huffing and puffing. And you know, those guys who knew, they knew how to pace themselves. I want to tell you, there's some believers that they're real quick on the start. I call them short runners. They can just go, you go, wow, big flash, you know, big boom. Look at that. Look at that church just exploded over there overnight. Look at that guy. He's all of a sudden preaching to the masses. But you know what? You've got to have it over the long haul. You've got to have what it takes to make it around the track 15 times if that's what God said to do. Amen? Amen? So look what David said here, verse 13. I had fainted unless, praise the Lord, here's the unless, I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm telling you, God's got good things for you. Amen. But you're going to have to learn this waiting phase key. Verse 14, wait on the Lord. Everybody say that.
Wait on the Lord.
Now you see, wait on the Lord doesn't mean you just sit down and twiddle your thumbs. We're going to be studying specifically tonight. There are certain steps. I mean, there are specific steps. These aren't the Jason Peebles steps to the waiting phase. I got them. I have to admit, I stole them. They're right out of 2 Peter chapter 1. He just lists a whole list of steps right there that are the waiting phase. Look what it says here. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Isn't that good? Amen. So we see here that Israel, you know, they started out, they didn't understand this key to the waiting phase, but they learned real quick. Because if we look back over in that story, we won't do it, but over in Exodus 32, I think it was 3,000 people or so were actually destroyed because they missed out on the waiting phase. They got into idolatry and judgment came on them. All right, let's go to Galatians 6. Let's look at the waiting phase, and these are some passages that I'm sure you've read before, but I want you to see it in light of this idea of the waiting phase. What does the New Testament have to say for believers concerning what we're coining or calling the waiting phase? Galatians 6, and let's look at verse 7. You know, everybody reads this usually before they receive an offering. And I'm telling you, there's a lot more to it than just money. Amen. Verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, don't you know that's a spiritual law? Amen? I mean, you're far enough along in that, right? You realize that what you sow is what you're going to reap. But you don't sow and instantly reap. Did you know that? There's a waiting time. There's a waiting phase. The seed has to germinate. It has to activate. It has to begin to root down. It has to begin to break forth. There's a time. There are things involved. Now, you know, a farmer, he'll usually go out into a field and he'll dig up a couple of seeds and kind of see the progress. I mean, he doesn't dig up the whole field. That'd be ridiculous. He would have ruined his whole situation there. But he'll dig down and look at some seed and see the progress. But you know, if you just looked upon that field, you would wonder if anything were happening. You would be like the people of Israel and say, well, it looks like my seed is delaying here. So anybody got any gold earrings? You know, you'd start looking around for something to do. But look what it says. Verse 9. Here it is. The waiting. Here's the key to the waiting phase. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season. Everybody say that. For in due season. Say it again. For in due season we shall reap if... Everybody say if. If we faint not. Now that's where most people miss it right there. They were like me on that track. Man, they were gone, you know. And before they made it around the first time, just, I mean, I'm telling you, I was running around. I was just, oh, glory to God, here's the finish line. Keep going, boys. You know, I wasn't prepared for that. Look what he says. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I like what Oral Roberts says. He says, God's got a due season for your miracle. Some of y'all have been believing for things, which is fine. Some of you have been believing for loved ones, family situations, direction, and you've just wondered why the delay has been, and you've been fainting. I'm here to encourage you this morning. Learn the keys to the waiting phase. Because the waiting phase is the transition from the claiming to the receiving. I tell you, you just don't receive too much unless you know this waiting. I mean, every once in a while, God will just bless you with an instantaneous thing, you know. I remember Martha and I, we were had come back from a trip, and we went to a Women's Aglow. And there was a woman speaking, you know. And so I went to the Women's Aglow, and I was one of the only guys, you know, there. And I was sitting there going, glory to God, you know, Women's Aglow, hallelujah. And so they're going to receive this offering. And I think I had... What did I have? $5 or something like that. I mean, that's all we had really pretty much to our life. And, you know, didn't have any change. You know how the devil will talk to you? Well, you don't have change. Just pass it. I'm sure that y'all have arrived and y'all never think like that. Try to remember how it was, okay? And so, here, because, and the Lord said, give it. I said, that's my $5, Lord. He said, that's why I'm telling you to give it. That's your $5. And so I put it in, the bucket had not gotten out of my hand, and this lady had gotten up and walked across. I said, aren't you Jason Peebles? And I said, why, yes, ma'am. And she said, the Lord told me to give you this. And about the time I released that, this other hand was receiving this. I mean, those are nice once in a while, amen. But I'm here to tell you that there's a waiting usually involved. There's a waiting, usually. I like those once in a while, don't you? Praise the Lord. All right, go to Mark chapter 4. Now, I forget the exact figure she gave me, but it was several times more than, you know, what I had sown there. All right, Mark chapter 4. And let's look at a parable. Your Bible may call it the parable of the wheat. I like to call it the parable of seed growth a little bit more than that. But this relates directly to what we've been looking at in the book of Galatians. Mark chapter 4, and let's begin with verse 26. Verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. So is the what? So is the what? Well, the kingdom of God includes a lot of things. We could read it this way. So is love. Huh? The kingdom of God, in one place it says it's righteousness, peace, and joy. So is encouragement. So is your finances. So is healing. In other words, everything in God's kingdom operates this way. Are you following me? I mean, sometimes we hear kingdom of God, and you know that goes over our head. We don't understand what that's saying. In other words, everything that God has for you operates this way. So is the kingdom of God. And you put anything in there that you're believing for, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. And he should sleep and rise night and day. See, this guy, he's not too tuned in on the waiting phase. He's rising night and day. And the seed should spring up and grow, and he knoweth not how. Verse 28. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade. Do you see a progression here? Then the ear. After that, the full corn in there. I'm telling you, there's in the waiting phase, things are happening. Yes. It's not that you're just sitting down and God's up there with it, you know, kind of tossing it up. I got it. You really want it? Oh, God, I really want it. Come on and pray. hit your knees. You know, some people see God like that. He's up there tossing it up, you know. Here, Gabriel, throw it back and forth. You really want this, don't you? Just, oh, God, I want that. You know, that's not what we're talking about. I'm saying to you, in the waiting phase, things are progressing. Things are happening that you don't know about. You see, when that farmer put the seed in, it disappeared. Amen? I mean, there was a period there where he had no recollection or no understanding probably of what was transpiring. But things were happening. And I'm here to tell you that things are happening in the spirit realm that you may not know or understand, but God is moving on your behalf. In fact, it says in one parable that He might answer them speedily. I mean, He wants to get it to you just as quick as you want it. But there are also things He's teaching you in character. He's building character in you. God wants to get the answer to you, but He's got other things in mind, and that's you being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And there are certain character things that we're going to talk about, self-control and godliness and love and brotherly love, that as you are in this waiting phase, that Satan will tempt you through the lack of self-control, through the lack of godliness, the lack of love, to get out of the track, to get off the path, and you miss it out. You faint. But if you'll operate in these principles, not only will it bring you to the answer you desire, what it does is it builds you into the full measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? So you see, as you're taught and you learn about this waiting phase, you see it's a lot more than just, you know, like the old thing, you're holding onto the cliff. Oh, I'm waiting, God. Oh, hurry, God, hurry. You know, you fall off the cliff. No, God's doing things for you and in you. Let's read the rest of this. Verse 28. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Amen. The waiting phase will lead you to the receiving phase. And there are keys to the receiving phase. In fact, I have a whole series that goes through each one of these phases. There are keys to the claiming phase, which involves faith. Then there are keys to the waiting, and there's an art to receiving. Did you know that? I mean, you know, somebody that's out there. Any of you guys like to watch football? Oh, come on now, guys, get serious here. Okay, some of you women, do you like watching football? No. Oh, all right, here we go. So here you are. The quarterback, 24, boy, he goes back like this. He's looking at that receiver, man. He's running his post pattern. He's down there. And that guy, boom, throws the ball. He doesn't just run and go, high, catch it, boom. What do? There's a timing involved. I mean, if you'll see a good receiver, man, he knows how to speed up, how to slow up, how to stretch, reach out, and bring it in. Praise God. And there are certain things like that you see in the receiving phase. But there's that time of waiting that is oh so important. All right, let me give you a little illustration here. What transpires? What really transpires between your asking and your receiving on the God end, on the spiritual end? Now, we're not talking primarily now about what's happening in you. What's happening out there in the spirit realm? Well, I'm just going to give an illustration. I don't know that it's exactly like this. But here you are. You're down here. Man, you've just heard some faith series. Man, you're so charged up. Glory to God. You can believe for anything. I mean, you just got the Holy Spirit running up and down you. And so you're going to believe for a car. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I claim that car, Father. I thank You that Your Word says You shall give me all my need according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father, I thank You. It says, seek ye for... I mean, you're just going to town, you know, standing on the Word. And so you've, like Oral Roberts says, he says, you send your faith to God, because it says in Hebrews chapter 11, faith is substance. You sent your substance up to God. You put that faith up there. And so Jesus stands up. He's our advocate. You see, there's a courtroom up there. And Jehovah God's sitting there. Jesus is our lawyer. He's our advocate. He says, Father, I would like to submit to You this petition by Jason Peebles for a brand new car. Glory to God. And the Father says, well, we're going to review this. Okay, he's in faith. He's walking in holiness and in the light. He's cleansed. He's under the blood. Let's get this thing out. Well, since that's transpired, glory to God, something's happened. Martha's come in and talked to me and said, you didn't take the trash out like you said. Well, I told you I'd take it. I'll take it out tomorrow. No, you take it. So there we go. We got strife going between us. All of a sudden, you know, my adversary, the devil, stands up. Did you know he has access into heaven? He stands up and he says, Jehovah God, I protest. Jason is in strife. He's not treating his wife the way, he's not taking the trash out the way he ought to. Well, he's got something on me there, you know. And so here's this petition. And, you know, all of a sudden I get spiritual. I say, honey, I'm sorry. I'm going to take that trash out. So will you forgive me, honey, for acting like that? I forgive you. My advocate stands up. Praise God, Jesus Christ. Father, he's claimed 1 John 1:9. He's asked for forgiveness and cleansing. Finally, the Father says, praise God. Here, Gabriel, get that thing down to him. Glory to God, Gabriel, man, he's got that car on his shoulder. He's coming down there. Glory to God, glory to God. I love delivering cars. Hallelujah. This is a nice one too. Stereo system, man. All right, this is good. Four door. He's on his way down. Well, he's battling his way through. Demons are trying to hold him up. He's coming down there. He's right at the door. He's right at the door. And all of a sudden in me, I'm saying something like this. I don't know if this thing's working or not. You know, this faith thing, I don't know. I mean, you know, really, it just hadn't happened. And I might as well go out and buy me a little old moped or one of those little things that gets 80 miles to the gallon, you know, something like. I could always strap my tapes on the back of a moped, you know. Martha could ride one of those little side cars. I mean, we don't need much, praise the Lord. And so, you know, my adversary, he stands up. He says, Jehovah God, Jason is in the sin of unbelief. Jehovah says, Gabriel, come on back. Man, Gabriel's already fought, you know, four legions of demons. And he goes, Jason, get your act together, man. This car is heavy. And he goes back up to heaven, you know, like that with a car. Well, you say, well, that's funny. Yeah, it's funny, but I believe something very similar to that happens. Finally, glory to God, I listen to another tape and I'm ready to go and I've got my car on the way and it gets to me. Praise the Lord. It's delivered on time. But you see, there's that weight. And if we don't understand that things are happening in the spirit realm for us and on our behalf, we'll miss out on God's best. All right, go to Romans 4. Romans 4. And let's look at this story of Abraham. And this is really a story of the waiting phase, if you want to look at it that way. I'm sure you've heard it taught from the idea of faith concepts, but you need to see it in light of the waiting phase that's involved here. There are keys in this story. Romans 4, and we'll begin with verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things that be not as though they were. Who against hope, this is talking about Abraham now, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So let's pause right there. Do you see that God had given him a promise? Do you understand that? God said, you're a father of many nations. So shall your seed be. So really, Abraham was clinging to that. That was his promise. But it wasn't an immediate fulfillment. Amen? There's a waiting phase involved here. And you know, he and Sarah, if you really read back in the Old Testament, they wavered back and forth if you want to know the truth of the matter. But praise God, when it's recorded over the New Testament, they come out looking like roses, you know? And that's the way it's going to be with us in heaven, glory to God. Amen. God's not up there writing all these, you know, things down. Well, blew it again, Jason. Yeah, you might make it. Something like that. You know, God, when I get to heaven, praise God, He'll say, come over here and look into the book of remembrance. Oh, Father, here's your life, Jason. What's that? That's a blank page, Lord. Well, there wasn't anything good to record on that day. You say, hallelujah. Oh, look at this page. It's half filled. You see, God, He's just recording the good things for the believer because everything else is on the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah, there may be a few blank pages, but glory to God, at least it's not written in black and white. Amen? All right, look what He says here. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope? That he might become the father of many nations. You see, he was a becomer. Amen. He was a becomer and achiever. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. Now see, we're running into the waiting phase now. Something he's going through. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not. You see, there he is, man. He's on his run around the track. He's running around that promise of God. He's making the Jericho march around that promise. He's not staggering. He's not going to fall out. Look what it says. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. He was able also to perform. Everybody say that. He was able also to perform. I'm telling you, God's able to perform the promise that you're believing for. God is able to get the answer to you if you'll just hold on. If you'll just wait. You see, if you'll just not slack up. If you'll let the character of the Lord Jesus Christ be manifest through you. You see, there are some situations that involve people. And did you know people will let you down? If you get your eyes on people, boy, this is something freed me up. Glory to God, the difference between my source and channels. God is my source. He can use any channel He wants. That person that told me they were going to do something for me is not my source. They're merely a channel. Therefore, if they let me down, I'm not devastated. Because my source still exists, praise God. And He'll just bring it in another way. Amen? Amen? Stagger not, through unbelief. I remember once early in our ministry, this fella, and he's a real likable fella, businessman, and he had just kind of come to the Lord. I mean, he was new in the faith, but boy, he was excited. And he came in one day and he said, I'm getting ready to start my own business. And the company I've been working for, I've got quite a bit of money in some type of a joint account that the company allowed their employees to be in and accumulated interest and so forth. And he says, when I take that out, I want to give your ministry the tithe. And I mean, it was going to be a sizable sum. And I said, glory to God, I believe you've heard the Lord and I'm going to receive it. And he said, well, it'll just be in a few months. I'm going to give you the tithe of that. I'll just give it to you one lump sum and you can just use it, in your ministry. And in my mind, I had that we were going to buy a van. We were going to buy a transportation vehicle because we needed that. At that time, we were going to our meetings in a Chevette. Well, I like Chevettes, but you try to put all that stuff back there in a Chevette and our hatchback was open and things were hanging out. We were on our meeting in a Chevette. So I said, glory to God, if we could just get this tithe check, that this man's promised us, that's an encouragement to my heart. And we're talking about keeping the difference between your source and your channel, you see, that the Lord may use. Well, I didn't hear from the guy. I'd see him, going down the street. We lived in a small town at that time. It would just kind of avoid me. I thought, what did I do? What's wrong? And what happened is the company, I found out later, would not allow him to withdraw his money for something like 5 years after he left. There was some type of a stipulation in there. He felt terrible about it. He felt, bad about it. Well, what if I had have been looking at him? What would it have done to a new believer if I had have said something like this? Why, you promised? You told me, I've been counting on it. I've stood up and given testimony about it. You need to go borrow that money. You need to get it any way you can. You see, that type of an attitude. Y'all aren't like that ever, are you? Y'all are nice people. But to have that attitude towards somebody. And the Lord dealt with me on that. And I said, Father, because there was the temptation, to say, well, this guy let me down. He hurt me. Have y'all ever had that? Somebody told you they're going to do something, they didn't come through. And the Lord dealt with me on that and He said, that's not the right attitude. He said, I'll get this the money to you. Through. I'm the source. He said, but you release this man. You love him. I said, okay, Lord, if you'll just give me an opportunity to see him. I couldn't get to him. He was avoiding me. I said, if you'll just give me the opportunity, then we'll get this thing straightened out. So I went shopping with Martha one day, which was unusual at the grocery store. And, I was pushing the cart around, working a calculator, amen, to stay within our budget, and adding up all the cereal and all that stuff. I'd throw in a, thing of sweet rolls and she'd throw them out, and I was trying to get this thing worked out here. And so we come around the corner and literally, guess who we bump into? I'm talking about literally, not figured. Guess who we bump into? The guy. Man, you should have seen his face. There's nowhere he could go. We began to talk, and Martha kind of rolled on a little bit further, and I said, the Lord has told me that your intention was right, and that's what the Lord's pleased in. And I want you to know that it just still encourages me that you wanted to do that for me, But I want you just to consider yourself totally relieved. He just really started weeping. It had shook him up so bad. And you know, that was the end of it. And after I released him and blessed him with that kind of... You see how that's the character of Christ in the waiting phase? After I blessed him, guess what? God did bring the money more than what he was going to give in another way. You see how that's working together? Look what it says here about Abraham as he was waiting. You see, he was tempted. He was tempted in verse 19 to look at his old dead body. I mean, you know, and it didn't build his faith any to look at Sarah sitting over there in a rocking chair, knitting, when she felt good, you know. About tonight, Sarah. I got a backache. Glory to God. Wonder how God's going to do this thing. You know? And Abraham, buddy, you know, he didn't feel hot all the time either. He was tempted to stagger, I'm telling you. In his mind would just go tilt. I mean, even if she does conceive, how is she going to have enough strength to bring forth? Huh? How's that going to happen? Look what it says here, verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. He didn't consider that as a hindrance when he was about 100 years old. Just about 100. Don't you like how they round it off? When you get up that high, you start rounding it off. 100, 200, something like that. 100, I mean, he was so old you couldn't measure it. About 100, yeah, I'm just kidding you. Oh, Lord bless the senior citizens here. About 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Everybody say strong in faith.
Strong faith.
Everybody say strong in faith.
Strong faith.
Giving glory to God. Now there's something to that giving glory. In the waiting phase, there's a key here to giving God glory. I like what I heard Jerry Savelle say on a tape. He said, if you can't get just as excited about the answer before you have it as when you get it, he said, you're not in faith. I got to thinking about that. I mean, I get real excited when it comes. But here I am, God, bring it. Glory. You know, I give you thanks, Lord. Hurry up. You know, that type of thing. Instead of getting so free and so convinced and so persuaded that your answer is on the way, you see, that you're just as joyful during the waiting as the receiving is just really almost like, oh, great, it's finally manifested. You get excited, that's really faith. It says in Colossians 4, verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with what? Thanksgiving. So here you are in prayer. That's the claiming phase. During the waiting phase, you're watching. See, there's a key there. You're on your tiptoes. You're watching. Could this be it? Could that? You're anticipating. Remember our definition when we started this message? Anticipation, expectation. You're watching. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. It's that realm of thanksgiving now, before you've actually received the physical, that's really an expression of the genuine waiting phase. That's really an expression that you're hanging on in faith and joy. Amen. And you're not bound up because channels are, you know, plugged up here and plugged up there and they're not working, which if you want to know the truth of the matter, maybe because you're not working in love. Because it says faith worketh by love, and when you're not operating in love, you actually plug up the very channels that could have come your way. Amen. All right, let's look at a couple of points here you may want to write down. First thing I see in this story of Abraham, you need to maintain a viewpoint of God's unlimited perspective. You need to maintain a viewpoint of God's unlimited perspective. See, your little T-19 mind doesn't see everything. You don't know what God's doing in three states over. You don't know that that car you're believing for may have to pass through two hands before it gets to you. So you maintain an unlimited perspective. Where do we base that off of? Verses 17 and 18. You see, he said, who against hope believed. In the natural, there was no hope. But I'm telling you, with God, there is hope. Amen. Amen. The second main thing I see here is you need to maintain strong faith by giving glory to God for the fulfillment of His promise. That's what we just mentioned. Maintain strong faith by giving glory to God, or if you want to call it thanksgiving, by giving glory to God for the fulfillment of His promise. You see, you do that before it comes. All right? That's verses 19 and 20. And then the third main thing I see here, there's a number of things, but we don't have the time for all that. The third thing I see here, be fully persuaded that what God has promised, He will perform. Be fully persuaded that what God has promised, He will perform. That's right out of verse 21. That's why I'm so excited to be here today. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else in the entire world but here today in this church, because I see what God's doing. God's doing a mighty thing here. You see, I know that Brother Mark has what it takes to get through the waiting phase. I know that Mark and Margaret have come through the waiting phase. The church is growing, it's going, and it's going to continue to go. You say, sounds like you're just building him up. Amen, I'm building him up. Praise the Lord, edifying him, because he's persevered through some things that would have, you know, just wiped out any normal human being that wasn't trusting God. He's persevered, and God, you see, is blessing. Not just a little short burst, in the long run. Hallelujah, to the finish line. And it's coming and it's on the way. Well, let's turn to the main passage now that we're going to be in tonight. And let's take an overview of that. 2 Peter chapter 1. Remember I told you there's a specific list in 2 Peter chapter 1. This is the main passage of our study for tonight. And we want to take an overview of it. We won't get into it in depth this morning, but we want to take an overview of it. I want you to see that, you know, the waiting phase isn't just kind of if you feel like it, do it. It's not just, well, I hope things work out. There are steps. Amen. God's a God of steps. I like that. God, we're supposed to use our minds, folks. We're supposed to use what God's given us upstairs and develop it according to how God thinks. Because it says His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Amen. So let's put His thoughts, His ideas, His steps into our minds. All right, 2 Peter 1, and let's look at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant. Don't you like how he puts that before he puts his office? Some people say, now, praise God, I'm a worldwide international evangelist. Oh, praise the Lord, brother. That's wonderful. Who are you? I'm a worldwide international radio pastor. Glory to God. What do you do, brother? I'm a servant. Everybody say servant.
Servant.
Everybody say servant.
Servant.
Peter had his priorities right. Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Now, you need to underline that phrase, like precious faith. I like it. He's saying we got the same kind of faith he does. We got the same type of faith an apostle would have. He says it's the like precious faith. Now, the rest of this chapter deals with like precious faith. Everybody say like precious faith.
Like precious faith.
He says, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3. We're going to read quite a number of verses here, so keep up. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. I call verse 3 provisional knowledge. You've got to have provisional knowledge. You've got to know it's already been provided. That's the first step in faith. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I call verse 4 promise knowledge. You see, it's not just enough to know you've got the provision of verse 3. The provision is contained in promises. So to link up to your provision, you've got to know the capsule of promise that's involved. Verse 5. And besides this, what is he saying besides verses 3 and 4, those two steps? Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love or charity. Do you see some steps there? Do you see some steps there? I see a bunch of steps there. Peter is saying, do this, do this, do this, do this. Follow my formula, the Peter formula. Follow this formula. Just do this, do this, do this, do this. And guess what will happen? He says, now don't leave out that step or it won't happen. How many of you women bake and cook? Come on now. Amen. Well, I don't bake and cook. I know how to fry an egg and, you know, hamburgers and things like that. But I've watched Martha cook. And I'm not telling on her here because she's a good cook. But I'll tell you this, you leave something out on the little recipe card, it's not going to come out like you thought. Isn't that right? Amen? Especially when you eat it, it's definitely not going to come out like you thought. You're going to say, it's going to come out. I mean, you're going to say, we don't want that. In other words, there's a list. 3 teaspoons of that. 3 tablespoons of that. Is that right? I don't know. Don't use tablespoons, that's too much. A cup of this, a cup of that. In other words, do this, do this, do this, do this, and here's what it looks like. They got little pictures, you know, little color pictures. Here's what your dessert's supposed to look like. Peter's given us identifiable, clear steps. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that you can box God in to steps. I mean, God, He's just out there. I'm telling you what, God gives us steps. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that you can box God in to steps. I mean, God, He's just out there. I'm telling you what, God gives us steps. Everybody say, God gives us steps.
God gives us steps.
God gives us steps to follow.
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 All right. Now look what happens if you do these things. Verse 8. For if these things, what things? All those steps be in you and abound. They got abound. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, isn't that something? You'll never be barren or unfruitful.
Well, you know what they say. You got to backslide 4 or 5 times before you really start walking with God. Well, I don't know who said that, but the Bible doesn't say that.
Right.
Amen.
It says if you can just learn these steps to the waiting phase. That's really what it is. Because you see, look at verses 3 and 4. He started out with the claiming. Basically the claiming phase. Tell us about provision and promise. Then he says, but then you got to go into these steps. And if you go into these steps, you get to the receiving phase. That's verse 8. Fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. That's the receiving. So all these steps basically comprise what I call the waiting phase. That's what you got to go through while you're waiting from the provision and the promise to the fruitfulness.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Have you followed me? All right. Verse 9. He doesn't cut any words here. But he that lacketh these things is blind.
Well, if you lack my message this morning, you're just blind. Wouldn't that make you feel good? I mean, you're just a zero.
But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know, I've always wondered, what did that mean in the context? I think it means this. People that think they don't need these steps, they don't need to study, they've just forgotten. They've just forgotten that God's mercy is what saved them.
Yeah.
They've just gotten proud and think they can do it in their own power. They need to remember that they got to follow God's plan, you see, in order to get the thing in gear. All right, verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these what? Everybody say it, for you do these things. Everybody say it again. Glory to God. He's saying you've got to have these steps. If you do these things, you shall never fall. Glory to God. I don't ever want to fall. If you don't want to fall, let me see your hand. Amen. I don't want to fall.
Well, you know, you just can't always tell. You might fall forward, backslide, slide, slide. I don't know, side slide, something like that. No, if you do these, you'll never fall.
Verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered to you unto the abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's not just talking about when you die. He's not just talking about when you die, the entrance into the kingdom. I'm telling you, there's greater and greater entrances right now in this life into the kingdom. There's greater and greater discovery and possession of the land, the land that Jesus died to give us. We can grow greater, greater into the entrance of God's kingdom. How? He says, for so. In other words, these things, these steps shall give you that entrance. Now, have I impressed upon you thus far the importance of these steps? Are you catching the drift? These steps are important. Well, if you think I'm one to impress the point that these things are important, look what Peter says in the next few verses. This is quite amazing. Verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, these steps, though you know them, so he had already taught it to them, and be established in the present truth. Can you see? You know, here's a house meeting. Here comes the Apostle Peter in to minister. And can't you see some of the people in the house? Oh, no, he's probably going to teach us those same steps again that we heard last week. All the steps of the waiting faith. I'm so tired of those steps. I had to temperance and godliness and brotherly love. And I don't want to hear that anymore. Here comes Peter in. We're going to talk about my steps this morning. Oh, no. Peter's step. Look what he says here, verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you sometimes, occasionally, always. And man, what would he have done if he had a tape recorder? Now, we've studied these steps this morning. I want you to take this tape and go home and let's do it 5 times. Oh, no, not the steps again. All right, verse, you think that's something, verse 13. We haven't finished yet. Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle. In other words, as long as I'm in my body is what he's saying. To stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I'm always, as long as I've got breath, I'm going to always teach on these steps. That's what Peter was saying. Amen. Everybody said, well, I'm ready for him to go on in glory. All right, verse 14. Well, he's going to make provision for that, brothers and sisters. Knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Oh, here I am this morning. Teaching on these things. Peter said, you think you're tired of this now? Guess what? The guy's been instructed to preach at my funeral.
We're going to study the steps. Brother Peter left us. Temperance, patience, patience, godliness. Everybody repeat it, you know, around the graveside.
He says, I think these things are so important. He says, these things are so essential. I've learned through the years because I'm one that fell, Peter said. I'm one that missed God. And I've learned through experience these things. If you'll do them, you'll never fall. A man had the power to say that who had denied the Lord 3 times but was restored. Amen. He says, you'll never fall. He said, if you'll just learn these, you're like precious faith. He said, all the provision that the Lord has died to give us in promise form, if you'll go through this waiting phase and you'll activate step by step by step what I've identified here, it will bring you that you'll never be unfruitful in the knowledge of the... You'll get into that receiving realm. Glory to God. And so that's what we're going to be studying tonight. We're going to be studying these steps. You'll never be unfruitful. You'll never be barren. You'll never fall. You'll receive greater entrance into God's kingdom. And you'll always be stepping into a receiving position. Amen. Why? Because you've learned the secret of the waiting phase. Amen. Let's stand up together. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. And let's worship the Lord. Let's worship God for what He's done. Let's worship God that He sent Peter. Amen. And Peter gave us these steps. The worship team would come back and lead us unto the Lord.
Hello, this is Jason Peebles. I want to thank you for listening to this cassette message. My desire is that our ministry will make a positive difference in your life. I'd like to take a moment to share with you how you can be involved in helping us take God's Word around the world. We are living in one of the most exciting times in history, and it's friends just like you who make it possible for us to reach our generation. Here's our vision in 2 parts. First of all, Martha and I have the call of God to teach the positive message of God's Word around the world. We've been doing this since 1979, and we're doing it right now through conferences, cassette tapes, literature, and radio. The second part of our ministry concerns missions. You may be less familiar with this part, but our organization serves as the home office for foreign missionaries who are working in many nations. These are full-time families, most of whom have been to Bible school and many to language school, and they are now serving on the mission field through our office. And our missionary agency is continuing to expand. Yet, we realize that there are still millions of people around the world who have not yet been reached for Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to join with us in this vision for reaching around the world with God's Word. The only way that we can accomplish what God has called us to do is through friends just like you. If this teaching ministry has blessed you, and if you feel that God would have you join with us, I'm asking that you take a moment to contact our office and let us know. The easiest way to do it is to simply call our toll-free number and tell one of our secretaries that you desire to become a monthly partner. We will record your commitment and then contact you by mail. You may choose to support us with a certain amount each month, or you may prefer to give variable amounts each month. Whatever you can do will be greatly appreciated. So please prayerfully consider calling us today. You can call us toll-free between 9 to 5 Eastern Time. Call 1-800-832-WORD. That's 1-800-832-WORD. Or you can write to World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box B, Marietta, Georgia, 30061. Together, we can make a world of difference with God's Word. This is Jason Peebles reminding you that there is victory for today.